I hope everybody's doing well out there. I'm Rick Devins, and this is episode 2 of Esports for Beginners, a limited series here on the Rob Has a Podcast Network. In this podcast, I speak with people rooted in the world of esports to learn more about that culture and explore whether esports can fill the void left as traditional sports are shut down by the coronavirus. On our next episode, we'll be talking with Loco Doco, a big name in the world of esports, a League of Legends player turned coach analyst. But this podcast also explores how this pandemic is affecting the traditional world of sports. On this episode, with my guest, Brad Culpepper, I'll look into how college football and the NFL are dealing with this strange new reality we're living in. And we'll also touch a little bit on Survivor and gossip about Brad's new neighbor, Tom Brady. I'm not kidding. Brad Culpepper literally lives right next door to Tom Brady, and we're going to get into that. The NFL trying to maneuver around the coronavirus, with free agency moving ahead as scheduled and a virtual draft set for April 23rd. Just this week, the League and Players Association announced an agreement that will allow teams to operate virtual off-seasons. This is because in order to maintain a level playing field, the facilities of all 32 teams are going to remain closed until every last one of those teams is permitted to reopen by the government. The NFL season is scheduled to kick off September 10th. College football kicks off about 2 weeks before that. Keep in mind, the NBA shut down mid-season after one player tested positive for coronavirus. Now, there are about 450 players in the NBA. The NFL has more than 1,700 players. Now, there are nearly 130 Division I college football programs, and each of them has more than 50 players on the roster. You can do the math. It takes just one test to shut everything down. So how does football protect its athletes from the coronavirus? We're going to get into it all right now. And my guest today spent 9 seasons in the NFL after an All-American career at the University of Florida. He's a 2-time Survivor player, the runner-up on Survivor Game Changers, also the husband of another Survivor runner-up, Monica Culpepper. But Brad Culpepper is joining me today. Brad, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, Rick, it's an honor to be on with you, and hope you're making it during all this crazy coronavirus time.
Absolutely. And we're going to dig into how the coronavirus is affecting the NFL today. But before we get into that, I just wanted to check up on you, Brad. What's life like for you these days? What was it like before the virus, and how's it changed since everything's happened?
Well, it's funny you should ask. So before the virus, I was about a month and a half, maybe 2 months away from being an empty nester. And since the virus, my oldest son, Rex, came home for spring break the first week. And then my second son, Judge, came home the second week. So now, instead of being an empty, my daughter, Honor, was about to go to NYU to play basketball in June. So now, instead, I've got a weekly grocery bill of about $1,000 a week with all the eggs and milk and bacon that I have to feed these guys. So I've got these interlopers, adults, in living in my house now. And it's great. I mean, we're enjoying it, but the house got a little smaller when I've got a 230 pounder and a 290 pounder. And then, you know, my daughter and her friends, and it's fun. It's like an extended summer. Now, as far as work is concerned, for whatever reason, lawyers are deemed to be indispensable or something. But
you are essential, Brad Culpepper.
Well, unfortunately, nobody's on the streets, so nobody's wrecking. And so I don't have as many cases. The phone's not ringing. So it's been pretty quiet. I think it's pretty quiet on all fronts as far as anybody working, unless you're in the healthcare units. And they obviously have their hands full and are doing a fantastic job.
Well, you have to keep working because you're now apparently feeding 3 collegiate athletes without the help of a meal plan. So good luck with that.
No, I know. It's great. They do get money. They actually send them money to have meal plans that they can't eat on campus. But they're definitely pocketed. Now the stock market, they're an opportunity to buy stocks. And all I do is stock the house with my money. But anyway, they're great. And I don't want their money.
Outstanding. Well, let's talk football now. The NFL and college football have probably up to this point been the least affected by the coronavirus simply because of timing. It wasn't in the middle of their season like it might have been with the NBA and Major League Baseball trying to startup, but the time is coming. We're getting to an NFL draft, and we're going to have that without any people live in the audience. Everyone's going to do it virtually. Then the deadline for the season starting. But I want to start with the offseason right now, because I say we haven't affected the NFL. And Brad, you know that's not true. The offseason, a very, very busy time. So first, let's talk free agency. You played 9 seasons in the NFL. You played for 3 different teams. You went through free agency. How would this have affected your free agency, what's happening right now?
Yeah, no, we're in uncharted territory with all of this. You know, started like at the college level. I've got 2 college athletes. Rex actually had, I think, about 3 or 4 practices for spring practice before he came home. And Judge had none at Penn State. They were planning to have spring break, and then they were starting as soon as they got back. So they're all missing spring practice. So that, I mean, in the big picture, it probably doesn't matter. But for these guys and for the coaches, it's a good time to evaluate new talent and new coaches and kind of get assimilated. But then not only do they not get spring practice, all these kids have nowhere to work out. I mean, all the gyms are closed. So fortunately, I've got a little gym here at the house, and I've got the guys doing all kinds of lifting here. And then Judge and I go out and do D-line drills at my brother-in-law's house. He's got a nice yard. And so
do you chase Rex around? Judge, a defensive lineman at Penn State. Rex, a quarterback, right, at Syracuse?
Correct. No, it's easy to work Rex out. I just kind of stand in a spot, and he throws balls. So that's, with Judge, it's hands-on, and I got to get – pads on, and he beats me up, and I put a helmet on, and he cracks me around the joint because he's 290 and I'm 200. But anyway, we're having fun doing that. But I'm thinking, okay, these guys are lucky. They got a dad who played in the NFL who knows the drills and knows how to work them out. And Rex, my oldest, has a great workout routine strength wise. So he's kind of putting Judge through the grinders. But all the coaches, so Coach Franklin and Coach Babers have, you know, conferences with these kids, you know, I don't know what they use, Zoom or something. And, you know, quite frankly, most of these kids don't have anywhere they can train. I mean, that, you know, they don't have gyms in their house, and you can't go to this high school, and you can't go to, you know, open gyms or public gyms. So it's same with the NFL. Now, maybe some of these richer guys, you know, have gyms in their own place.
Well, it's even exacerbated with these college kids, because anyone who has tried to make their own home gym knows that there is nothing you can get right now. Dumbbells are as hard to get right now as toilet paper.
No, correct. And so same with these pro guys. I mean, I guess baseball players maybe could go out and throw the ball around and hit the ball around, because that's kind of, you can stay 6 feet away. But pro football players, your strength is everything. And I think it's really going to affect guys. The longer they have that they can't do anything, but I think it's really going to affect college kids. I mean, these guys are just sitting at home, you know, they may be running or doing some agilities, but they're really not lifting doing the cleans and the squats and the bench press that you really need in order to maintain your strength. So the same things happen with the pros. I can't imagine, you know, and it's all the way up.
Well, let's stick with college right now.
Well, okay. What I was saying, you've got high school kids that are trying to get recruited. And a big time in recruiting is right now, spring practice in May, April and May, for these high school kids to be seen by college coaches. Well, college coaches cannot come to your house. They are on dead period. So these kids aren't being recruited. They can't see coaches. I mean, it's really strange. I mean, you got the same with college.
It's really going to send ripples through high school, college, and pro football for the next several years, even when we are out there playing again, because I mean, what do you think the odds are that we're going to get injuries? Because not only are these kids not able to prepare themselves the way they often can, especially college kids who go back home to no facilities often. They can't get into their local high school, and they don't have that off-season workout. They're not able to check out with doctors for any little nagging injuries. And then we're not going to have the spring practice we're used to. Do you think that we're putting kids in a rough situation? And coaches too. I mean, everybody.
Well, no, absolutely. You nailed it on the head. And you know, coaches are trying to push to have a season this year. And I hope they do have a season, but it takes, you know, I mean, usually you have a full off season. Then you have, you know, a good full month and a half of kind of practices before you play. They're going to be lucky to get 1 month before a season. And then you're right. The injuries just kind of will mount up just because guys aren't ready. They'll be pulling hamstrings, twisting ankles, you know, blowing out knees. I mean, you just, your body builds its strength throughout the year. And when you try to fast track that in 1 month, or you try to get game ready in a month when you haven't been training, it's just, I don't know. It's you're not going to put a product out there that's going to be as good. Delaying the season or eliminating the season, that's going to cause a whole headache. I mean, think about all the basketball players or all the NCAA wrestlers or the baseball players who missed their senior year. I guess they're going to give them another year, but that if they have to do that with football, what does that do to all the incoming freshmen or seniors? I mean, it's just a big mess. But one thing, it's kind of like Survivor. Monica and I always had the, you know, kind of thought process when we were going into it. It's like, look, as long as everybody's running in mud, we'll be fine because we can run in mud as well as anybody. There's not going to be haves and have nots with this coronavirus.
Even situation. Playing field for everybody. Everybody's in a bad situation.
Correct. So the NCAA is not going to allow some teams to practice and some teams not. The NFL is not allowing, you know, some guys to get in the facility and some guys not. I mean, it's there. Everybody's in the bad boat. Everybody's running in mud. So it'll be the tougher teams. I tell you the truth, it'll be a team like Belichick team that should probably thrive because, you know, these guys are so, you know, he's so dogged about, you know, preparation and being tough that those are the type of teams that would probably be better if there is a season with such a shortened time to get ready for it.
He's the guy you would expect to have players on his team that know how to do their homework, know how to do their job on their own. That's kind of his reputation.
No, it is, and unfortunately for the Bucks, my hometown team, we've got this guy Tom Brady who happens to live right next door to me.
Brad showed me this earlier when he says that Tom Brady lives right next door. He is speaking very literally next door.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I live on Davis Island down here in Tampa, and I used to have a neighbor named Derek Jeter, and Derek's a great guy, but he's been down in Miami. And Rick, I promise you, I put a hand on a Bible right now. So 2 months ago, before Tom Brady signed with the Bucks, I was kind of just jawing it out with my kids saying, you know, the Bucks are interested in Tom Brady. I guarantee you he signs here and I bet you he moves next door. Now I was just kind of tongue in cheek, just teasing with the kids. But I knew that. So Derek Jeter grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and is a huge University of Michigan fan. In fact, when Judge went to Penn State, he gave us a hard time going back and forth to Penn State, Michigan. So he and Tom are friends. So as soon as Tom signed here, I was like, oh my God, I bet you Derek rents him his house. Because Derek's been down with the Marlins down in Miami. He's the president of the Marlins, but he still has this house here. And he and Hannah now have two little girls, but they rarely come back. They used to live here, you know, full time until he got the Marlin gig. But then all of a sudden, you know, Monica and I, there's a lot of activity about 3 weeks ago next door. And, you know, sometimes there are people there doing maintenance and stuff with Derek's house. But there was a car out front that had Massachusetts tags. And I showed Monica, I was like, look at those tags. And she goes, you don't think? I'm like, I bet you it makes sense. So anyway, and then he moved in. I think he was on Howard Stern and the cat get out of the bag that he's living in on Davis Island. And it has been, I mean, it was bad enough. I texted this to Derek. I said, man, it was bad when people thought I was a sissy shortstop, but now they think I'm a wimpy quarterback. Fans are crazy. I mean, I don't think he's ever not been in a not gated community. And so we're on the open bay. So there are boats that just park out back yelling, Tommy Brady. And then the people just come by. And now with the coronavirus, nobody's working. Everybody's home. So there's 100 people a day or
just gawkers out there
that just walk by his house taking videos.
You need to get Rex a Patriots jersey and just have him out there throwing the ball, get on TMZ.
I know. It's funny. I've had people text me, say, hey, is he going to come give Rex some pointers? I'm like, give me a break. That's the last thing I would do is do it.
Tom Brady and Giselle must have flipped out when they realized that they were living next door to two Survivor runner-ups.
100%. I mean, golly, I've kind of shunned them away a little. They sent me the brownies and welcome to the neighborhood. They're so excited.
I'll bet. He must be glad you're not coming after me. It's funny that you say that now people are going to mistake you for a quarterback. I did want to get into that a little bit because so many people who know you from Survivor, not football, must come up to you all the time and tell you how shocked they were when they found out you were a defensive lineman. Because you looked straight up like a safety out there.
And not even. I looked like a place kick holder. especially by the end, I think I was 170, and I played at about 280.
Right, so, in the middle of the defensive line.
Yeah, no, I was a nose guard. Warren Sapp and I played together, and that was a whole lifetime ago, which kind of seems like Survivor was a whole lifetime ago with this coronavirus. But what I was originally saying about, you know, the Bucks and Tom Brady is that now they've got this type of leader that, listen, Tom is no nonsense like Bill Belichick, and I think it will help the Bucks to have a guy like that. If they have a shortened season or if they have a quick season, you get a guy like Tom Brady in here who kind of says, look, guys, obviously he's the greatest of all time. He's won 6 Super Bowls. I think people will fall in line as to how it's done. You know, do they have the talent of New England? I don't know. Maybe so. I mean, I you know, it seems like when you have Tom Brady and you have Bill Belichick, who needs talent? So we've got half of that, and we've got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin at receivers, and we've got a, you know, pretty decent defense. So, you know, maybe the Bucks could have a chance of being a good team if it's a really shortened season. Or
well, using the Bucks as an example, I hear what you're saying about Tom Brady being such a good leader that could help in a shortened season. But speaking back again to your experience going from one team to another, how would that work, do you think, since we are in the off season? Do they give Tom Brady a new playbook and say, you got to learn this on your own? Or do they give the receivers Tom Brady's playbook and say, you guys got to go learn this on your own? Because either way, I guess they're going to come into the season without having played with each other.
No, correct. Well, you're absolutely right. And with a new coach, I think typically that would be a bad thing. With Tom Brady, I think not. Bruce Arians is a fantastic coach in regards to offensive quarterbacks. And I think he's the type of coach who will say, let's do a little bit of both. There's no way he'd say, Tom, you come in here and you got to learn my system. You know, maybe the terminology, but I think if he's a smart guy, which he seems to be, he would say, look at what I do. And you tell me what you do, and let's meld the two together so that, you know, we maybe use, you know, our language, but we're doing your stuff. And then combine the two. I think that's absolutely, but you're right. A lot of chemistry is built in the off season, and there won't be as much of that. But if they do have a season, they'll at least give them, I mean, you got to have a month to get ready. So,
right.
I don't know that they would eliminate the season. And again, who knows? You and I are speaking from the top of our heads. And
right, exactly.
Neither one of us went to medical school and understand viruses like everybody else.
Only one of us has an advanced degree. That's you.
it wasn't in virology or whatever. I do know Corona beer, but I don't know coronavirus.
There you go. Well, you certainly have a place where it looks like it's a good time to enjoy a Corona beer. I did want to talk to you a little bit about the draft, and you can speak to this as someone who's been through the draft and someone who's got college kids who are on teams with guys getting drafted all the time. So many things have changed this year in terms of players being able to host pro days, in terms of teams being able to meet face to face with players. We talk about all the rookies, quarterbacks that are supposed to be taken in the first round. Well, they might not even be able to get into the facilities until the very start of the season. How do you see this draft process changing because of the coronavirus through what you went through and what's been normal in past seasons?
Well, quite frankly, I'm in favor of scouts watching film and seeing a guy and saying that guy's a good player because I see him on the field. I'm not as big a fan of the workout warrior guys who run, you know, guy runs a 4.2 automatically. Oh, he's a first round pick, or defensive lineman runs a 4.6 or whatever it is. You know, to me,
spoken like an all American college player who had a 9-year career. Absolutely.
Well, no, but it's like, you know, maybe they'll be drafting better because they don't have all the pro day workouts, and they're really kind of stuck on looking majorly at film and trying to say, okay, we like this guy, what he does on film. I mean, if I was a scout, I would rely more on that than what the guy does, you know, on a 40-yard dash. But unfortunately for those that are really, you know, good at the testing and maybe not as good a film, they will have a harder time getting in front of scouts and getting drafted because they're not going to have those pro days where a guy's, you know, he's a backup guy, comes out of the woodwork and just jumps 40 inches and, you know, runs the fastest 40 and, you know, gets lucky that day and has stick come on his hands and catches all the balls. What is kind of sad is that, you know, guys work so hard to be first round draft picks. And I think they enjoy going to Dallas or New York or wherever they would have the draft and kind of, you know, it's a little bit gaudy, but for those kids, it's, you know, kind of the dream come true that they will not have this year. But it filters all the way downstream. I mean, my daughter, you know, is supposed to graduate high school. She probably, you know, she's not going to have prom and she's not going to have a graduation probably, but you know, she's not the type that would sweat that anyway. But matter of fact, I need to get my daughter on her on Survivor. She'd be fun. She's pretty like Monica and mean like me. Oh my God. She'd be ruthless.
Well,
she'd
don't give fantastic. Fans the scouting report. We know she might show up on fans versus favorites or something. We don't want people to be wary of Honor Culpepper. Although she'd probably have to hide that, wouldn't she?
God, she
big would target her, if she says Culpepper.
She would smile while she's cutting their throat so bad.
I'm scared just thinking about it. I'll be honest. Well, as a father of two college athletes, you must be torn because obviously they want to play football. You want them to play football, but you want it to be as safe as possible. You hear a lot of ideas being thrown out there, even football in front of no fans. I mean, how do you react to something like that?
It'd be very bizarre, that's for sure. It would save on my airplane flight bills and my hotel bills, that's for sure, because I could sit at home and watch on TV. Because all season last year, about 4 or 5 weeks that I was at both. One was a Friday night game. One would have a Saturday night game and I'd fly from one to the other.
Wow.
Or I would drive from Syracuse to State College. So as far as a player, that would be real funky. It'd almost be like a glorified scrimmage. I think you really miss out on the college experience without the band and the fans. I mean, if you've ever seen a Penn State whiteout, oh my God, that is something that's, I mean, you're talking about a Southeastern Conference guy applauding the Big Ten. I mean, there are 110,000 people there and it's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
That takes a lot for an SEC fan to say that you're a big man, Brad Culpepper.
Listen, I'm in
SEC country down here.
Right. No, I was blown away by that whole deal. But so to miss out on that, you know, if they have to do it, they have to do it. But then again, if they can't have fans, I mean, how can you get through not having a player with the virus? I mean, you'd have to do a lot of testing because if one guy gets it, then you've got to quarantine everybody. And then how do you forfeit games? I don't know.
How would you feel as a father if a university said, you know, it's not safe for the fans, but we'll let your son go and not be within, you know, forget social distancing guidelines of 6 feet. I mean, you're in each other's grill on a football game.
I just don't see how that'll happen.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. And quite frankly, the governors and the, you know, maybe our president, but the governors and the legislators of the state have more power than the football coaches. And right. That's probably a good thing because I think the football coaches would be pushing for, you know, play, but I don't think anybody logically would let anybody play. If we're social distancing, even though things are reopened, you can't have football. I mean, you just,
right.
I don't know how that would happen.
Well, and that seems to be the issue as we approach a football season to me is the NBA, Rudy Gobert got the coronavirus and that night shut the league down, period. One test. So if we have a one test limit on college football, on NFL football, I mean, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of players. That's just, you're either going to have to compromise somehow and not have one test, or you have to wait till there's a vaccine. I just don't see any way that you could think you're going to get through a season without someone catching it.
The only way would have to be a Westworld type situation where you took every single college pro football player and you took them to an island in the Asian Sea and tested all of them and kept them there and had the whole season there.
Yeah. And you have the unique perspective as someone who has been forced to live on an island with people and also someone who has been in the locker room of a football team. And I'm just thinking about an NFL football team. We got Brad Culpepper. He's got a law degree. He's got a family. He's got kids. We got this guy who just got drafted out of college, who's a millionaire for the first time of his life. you know, you're going to have very different perspectives on the coronavirus. Dak Prescott just got busted for having a party at his house where there was no social distancing, whereas other people are putting out messages really urging people to do the right thing. So how do you come to a consensus even within one locker room?
Yeah, no, it's impossible. It's because it'd be like, where have you been? You know, where was your wife? Where were your kids? I mean, I had that now. My kids are still wanting to kind of, you know, how can you say it's like push the limits on this social distancing with friends or whatever else. It's kind of like, look, you know, Judge, you know, it's not about, first of all, I don't want anybody over here. And even if you go see somebody, it's like, you don't know where they've been. And, you know, it's a hard situation. So if you were in a locker room, again, you'd have to get sequestered into, you know, isolation to be able to do it. And that's just not going to happen. So unless, you know, maybe they, I mean, they're talking about, they, I don't know about getting a cure or a vaccine, even by the fall. It's like, until they have a vaccine, you're really not going to eliminate this thing. I mean, we can kind of push it around and keep the curve from getting too spiky and flatten the curve, but to eliminate it altogether until we have a vaccine. And it seems like we're what, a year from the time that it happened till right. they get it. I just don't know. I mean, you know, the football fan and dad in me wants it to happen, but the realistic person and the logical person in me says, I think it's more probable than not that the season will be delayed or really pushed back for a year.
And as an NFL player, again, going back to that locker room, there's a lot of different things happening. You're living next door to Tom Brady, who never has to worry about money. You, I imagine, were very responsible with your finances as an NFL player, but a lot of folks are making the NFL minimum, which is a whole lot of money to me, but can be spent very quickly if you're spending it like your locker room buddy Tom Brady. So how many players do you think would be in a really, really bad spot if they miss a year's worth of paychecks?
Well, just a year's worth wouldn't kill anybody. However, if their football career ends because of this, because they get a year older, or because, you know, somebody else comes along and takes their spot, then things can change dramatically. And you're right. Everybody makes really good money. However, you know, a lot of guys have baby mamas and a lot of guys have to have the cars and the bling and everything else. And it goes fast. I mean, if you make $1 million a year, the government takes, you know, 40% of that. And then you buy a house and you buy cars and you have child support and it goes super fast.
Yeah.
So no, it'll have a lasting effect. You know, like I said, it's affecting all of us on a financial way, you know, all of us, I guess, regular people who have real jobs, restaurateurs or retail or insurance agents or lawyers or whoever else. It also is affecting athletes, you know, not a Tom Brady as much as you know,
right.
There are very few Tom Brady's. That's you're talking the upper 2% of pro athletes, you know.
But it's great that you expanded there, because I'm sure that you had relationships with all types of people in the building that weren't athletes, people that work concessions at the games, doctors that work in the building, assistants, just people that are doing everything. And they're completely out of a job. They can't even get into the building. If they're shut down for a season, you're going to feel those same economic repercussions, I guess, in football that we're going to feel everywhere. But how do you recover from that?
Well, football's lucky because it's, I think, the number one pastime in America. So football will come back. There's no question about it. Maybe some other stocks in the stock market won't come back, but football as a stock,
yeah.
You know, I guess the XFL is not going to come back, but the NFL, it'll come back, you know, going strong when it does. You hope that teams just, if they have to lay people off, they just put them on furlough and then hire them right back. Because, I mean, look, as soon as they get 2 years from now, it's going to be, especially if it misses a season,
mm-hmm.
boy, that season kickoff, you know, a year after the virus, you know, hit, man, that's going to be the biggest thing. And people are going to go bonkers and want to be at every game, and
yeah,
tickets will go out of the roof, and they'll need all the support system, ushers and and trainers and all the things you were talking about, which you're absolutely right. There's a lot more that are affected with football than just the athletes.
You remember that game in New Orleans after Katrina, the first game they had there, and they just blew the roof off the Superdome. I think you're exactly right. I think I'm picturing something like that. The first game we get back, even if the season does start on time, I think people need sports in their life. And that's what this podcast is all about. It's, you know, you and I are talking doom and gloom, and I think it's really realistic, but how do we fill that void? How do you think the NFL is going to go about putting something out there? Because they've really been the highlight of the sports scene right now, because we can at least follow free agency. We can at least get ready for a draft. There's going to be a draft, but we see the NBA turn into some crazy things. We got NBA players live on ESPN playing video games of themselves. Are you ready to watch your new neighbor, Tom Brady, play Madden against Bill Belichick?
No, what's great. I mean, I do miss sports. However, I think our TV's been off for most of this 2-3 weeks. I've been reading a lot of books. I taught my sons and daughter how to play cribbage. So we've been doing that. So we've actually had some good downtime, board games, backgammon, gin, rummy 500. So that's all we've been doing. But you're right. I mean, people, you know, Monica will facetiously say to me, well, who's on tonight? The Cubs on tonight? And I'm like, yeah. Okay, we got Jack Nicklaus. I think he may win his sixth thing. We'll just watch to see if it happens. Is there only so many, you know, Tiger Woods finales and Jack Nicklaus finales you can watch when it's not live? So whatever, I tell you what, whatever sport ends up getting back the fastest, everybody's going to be watching, even if it's, you know, I don't know, you know, the WNBA, you know, it'll be something, watching something competitive and live will be amazing. But you're right. It'll be like 9/11 and the Katrina thing where Gleason blocked the punt. Everybody was so excited to get football back and, you know, when it was taken away, that it'll definitely happen. It'll be super exciting. And it'll be exciting for any sport. Well, baseball will have a big, big run up because, you know, they're going to miss it. Maybe they'll be the first ones out of the box. I don't know.
Right. And they can jump right into the playoffs. Maybe it's interesting what you said about you would watch any sport that came back first. Cause that's exactly how I feel. I would say I've never watched soccer in my life, but if all of a sudden EuroLeague soccer was available on my TV, I'd tune in to watch. And that's kind of where the idea of this podcast came from, which is, tell me about esports. Tell me about why I should be interested in watching people video game competitively. And I talked to Ken Hong, who was on season 17 of Survivor Gabon, and he's a professional gamer. And he was telling me, Brad, we went through it, and it's really interesting just to hear your story of how you came up. He's got his same backstory. It's obviously very different, but there are a lot of things that coincide for people who are desperate for competition, for an underdog, for an upset, for great stories from people that they don't normally know in a competitive series. I think esports seems to be scratching that itch. What would have to happen to get you to tune in to some sort of esports game, whether it be them doing a sports simulation or even a shooter? I don't know, Brad.
I think that boat passed me. I'm too old for that. I mean, I'm not barely a Gen Xer, I reckon. I was born in 1969. I'm 50 years old. So I don't really have the video game gene in me. Now, my kids do. My kids would, you know, they watch Scratch or whoever. I don't know. They talk about somebody that's makes millions and millions of dollars. And I do think that the people that game are fantastically talented. I'm not one of those, you know, get off my lawn guys and say, oh, guys are bums or whatever else.
Yeah.
I totally think they're talented. I'm just totally not interested. I'd rather read. So for me to, I sat my generation. I'm about 10 years older than that. I think if you're probably in your 30s, you could probably get into watching people dominate in esports, but not that I wouldn't do it. I mean, you give me a cold beer and some good time, and you come over to my house and you want to watch esports, I'll do it.
And that's exactly what I'm looking at. Something to replace what I'm missing with sports. It's like, yes, right. I can crack open a beer. I don't know what's going to happen. Let me see the action.
Yeah, no, it would probably be a one-off for me. I don't think
that. You're not going to invite Tom and Giselle over to watch the Dota championship this season.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is, but for some reason, I don't think Tom's that way either. But maybe he is. Maybe I got it all wrong.
Based on what I read in his biography, I don't think he has any time for anything other than football, getting in the best shape possible. It's pretty amazing. Although that's another thing, like some of these esports guys, I'm the same with you. I started doing this podcast because I don't know anything about esports. And I've been very amazed to find out how much goes into it. The training, like you said, it's totally different from football, but they're the best in the world at what they do. And it's not by accident. It's pretty impressive.
No, it's like a musician or it's, you know, to say someone's not talented in those sports is asinine. I mean, it's like saying a race car driver is not an athlete. I mean, if you, unless go drive right. 170 miles per hour on with a car right on your bumper and one, you know, right in front of you. And you'll realize that, whoa, these guys have super talent and they have big old cojones and they can do it. So, no, I have a lot of admiration. And listen, if you're making millions of dollars, which I know these e-gamers are making, you know, hundreds of thousands or, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars, which the best are, you're great at what you do. You're in, and that's a talent and should be applauded.
Do you play any games on your phone at all? You mentioned you play cribbage. I learned of cribbage through Stephen King. Do you play anything like video poker, anything like that? Ken Hong wanted me to ask specifically.
No, I don't. I'm way under you. I've got an iPhone, 11? I don't even know what they are. And it's way under you. It's probably, I'm good with pictures. I can text, I email. I've got zero social media. And I kind of prefer that. It's almost like.
It's true. I had to track you down in unusual ways. Normally, I just go on Twitter to find people.
Yeah, you know, to me, it seems like it's all bragging. I don't know. Everybody puts on their, you know, how great their vacation is or how great their, I don't know, lobster bisque is or how great their kids are at this. And I don't know. It just seems like one big brag to me. And I'm happily married. I'm not, you know, tindering it up, trying to hook it up and all that other stuff. So it's like, I've got a big law firm down here in Tampa and people can find, just like you found me.
Absolutely.
I mean, people can find me if they need me. And I don't know. You blink your eyes, next thing you know, you're old. And it's like, I don't want to spend all my time just glued to my phone and glued to, I don't know, time wasters. You know, maybe reading a book is wasting time, but I'm sitting in my library and you can see, I know
it's beautiful. Yeah.
But I'm a big hard book reader.
Who do you read? What type of, I love cards. What books do you read, Brad?
I play a lot of cards. I go around, I don't know. You talk about Stephen King. I've got, you know, a lot of Stephen King. I got Michener. I mean, Michael Korda. I read all the George Martin books.
Oh, there you go. So you're waiting on the edge of your seat for the new one, just like the rest of us.
A little bit, but you know, since we've seen the last episode and we know the boy kills old girl, it's kind of like, I mean, I'll read them, but it's kind of a little bit like, I wonder if he's going to keep it the same or not. You know,
so, that's the big question.
I don't know. I mean, he's quite wordy in his book. And, you know, but he's got so much other stuff going on as far as, you know, I don't really know how he's going to, there are other Targaryens that he's got in his book that he's got to take care of somehow or another. So I don't know how he's going to do all that.
Well, I'm sure that there are a lot of guys. You've obviously gotten into your law firm. You have a whole nother career going since you left the NFL. But a lot of folks in the NFL are kind of like survivors like me, where they cling on to it and they make a career out of talking about the NFL and everything that goes with it. Do you have friends that have jobs that relate to football, that their jobs are connected to a football season and they're kind of wondering what they're going to do with their lives?
Well, my roommate for 7 years when I was with the Bucks was a guy named John Lynch, and he's pretty connected to the NFL.
Yeah, 49ers general manager.
So, you know, he's I'm sure he's trying to figure out what all to do with players and you know, who to draft. And I mean, you talk about a difficult situation, as we were talking about earlier. I mean, he's sitting there and, you know, do you trade up? Do you trade down for people? You haven't been able to really look at somebody like you'd want to look at them. You know, I don't know what first time since you asked me about that, I haven't really thought about John and how he's probably struggling going into this draft, trying to figure out who he's going to pick. But John's also a guy who relies on film work. And I think at the end of the day, he would just say, you know what, let's err on the side of somebody who looks real good on film and we'll go with that guy.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Your perspective that in a lot of ways, not being able to interact with the players as much is going to strip distractions and make the general manager's job easier despite themselves.
Yeah, maybe so. But then you've also got, you worry about the guys that are currently on the team and are they getting weak? I mean, it's funny. One of Judge's coaches or his defensive line coach kind of texted him and said, hey, send me some stuff about, you know, what you're doing to work out. So Judge was able to send some stuff doing weights and then get training out with me. But I think that's one of the rare situations. I think a lot of guys just don't have the facilities and don't have the wherewithal to go work out. And the same thing with the pros. I'm sure John's trying to figure out, okay, what is my quarterback throwing to anybody? Are my receivers, are my running backs, you know, running? Are they just sitting around getting fat? I mean, if some guy's making, you know, and made $8-10 million last year, maybe he's saying, I'm going to hold off and not hurt myself and not get coronavirus and not do anything.
Yeah, especially if they are thinking there might not be a season at all. You know, what am I going to do to put all this in? I wonder how many people are making that calculation in their head right now.
I don't know. There are some and probably a lot.
I mean, and what do you really think what do you think it's going to be like in those college locker rooms when we do, if we were to miss an entire season, then you have an entire freshman class in. I assume it would be like spring sports where it would be up to universities to decide whether they extend another year to their athletes. But what would that be like for Rex and Judge to not lose anybody on the team, but all of a sudden you get a whole nother recruiting class? Obviously, they'd have to do something with scholarships. I mean, this could really blow up college football in a lot of ways. Or do a lot of bad teams get good players that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise?
I think the NCAA would mandate that you're not allowed to take a scholarship away. So, but if a player wanted to play his sixth year, they're not going to pull a season from anybody who didn't get their senior year because of coronavirus. So they'll allow it. NCAA will not keep a player from having that. They're probably going to expand scholarships. I mean, if you got to bring a freshman class in, you know, instead of having 85, you maybe have 100 at that point and do with it somehow and somehow come up with the money. I don't know. It's a funky scenario.
A lot of questions. And as Brad mentioned earlier, unfortunately, neither of us virologists, so we don't really know where this is going, but certainly a lot of hurdles that the NFL and college football are going to have to face. Is there anything I'm not thinking of, Brad? Is there anything that would be top of your mind if you were still in the league right now? What happens with teams who got a new coach? My team in Washington, D.C. has a brand new coach who I assume has only met a fraction of the players.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're just going to be behind. I think the only thing I'd be thinking about is that what if somebody gets it? And I'd be really worried as a GM or a coach or somebody that one of my players gets it. And not only, you know, let's say you're coaching Washington. Not only does he not like have a familiarity with players, but then you get, let's say five guys ended up getting it. They're going to be that much further behind in their physical stature to play. I mean, that to me, I'd be extremely worried about that happening. So I would be adamant that guys, look, you really have to social distance. If you've got to err on the side of working out or not being around anybody, you got to not be around anybody. Because if you get the coronavirus, from what I understand, and, you know, a kid like Tony Baselli got it and his son who plays at Florida State, he got it. And it was just devastating. And you know, the kid's kind of saying, look, I'm 21 years old or 20 years old or however it is. And he goes, it devastated me and put my dad in intensive care. So I mean, it's like, you know, the last thing you want is for 5 or 6 or 10 of your players to have gotten it. So they're that much further behind when the season, you know, if the season were to be able to get started in August.
Right. And you really can't trust big college football players to be the responsible ones. The universities have to be the responsible ones, because I know when I was in college, I thought I was invincible and I was not a football player. If I had been a football player, I'd be sure that I was invincible not thinking bigger picture about how I'm affecting the folks around me.
No, it's that whole spring break scenario. Exactly. Down here or down over in Texas, and they didn't care. Heck with coronavirus. And, you know, it's not even your worry about you getting it. It's supposed to you getting it, not having symptoms, and passing it on to your grandparent and killing them.
So, unfortunately, it sounds like we're pretty pessimistic about the season starting on time. And even on top of that, we're very concerned about the bad things that could happen if the season does start on time, which is people could getting injured because they're not prepared, play being really sloppy. That's the least of our worries. But it just seems like these sports leagues, you know, they're getting bashed for a lot of their ideas, playing with no fans, you know, trying to get people quarantined in an area in North Dakota, but there are just no good options right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I saw the thing with the baseball team. They would play the whole thing in Arizona. Again, you know, unless they can have a testing system that they have so many tests and they're instantaneous, and maybe they'll get to that point. But unless you do that, then you quarantining, you know, let's say they mailed off tests and said, OK, hey, because Monica and I were talking about this, you know, what if the Penn State guy said, hey, get a test done next week, and then we're going to fly you up a week later to come, you know, and we're going to only have football players on campus, and we're going to do it then. Okay, well, if they take the test and they're fine, and then they fly up, well, they could have gotten the virus on the airplane, you know, or you know, I don't know, somebody delivers milk to their apartment, and then it's on the milk cart. I mean,
right?
I just don't know how you do it. It's like until they get a vaccine, I just don't know how they're going to be able to play any sports.
Exactly. If one is the limit, that's just so hard. I mean, to get 0% cases without a vaccine, again, it seems impossible. I hope that we're wrong, Brad. I think that you certainly hope that we're wrong, because you're getting eaten out of house and home right now.
It's a good problem to have. I'm enjoying my kids. I think as long as no one gets it in my house, we will look fondly. We'll look back fondly on the coronavirus vacation. I know I do go into work every morning for about an hour or two, but you know, the phone doesn't ring much. We still have employees and we're paying them. And so we still have cases that are ongoing. So I'm dealing with those, but you know, we're way down. We're only getting probably 15% of what we normally get per month.
But it is true that for those of us that are lucky enough to not be, you know, scared to death about what this means financially. And my wife has been going into work. She's a nurse educator. So we've had a paycheck coming in. But it has been amazing to have this time at home with my kids. I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and it's been a really special time that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
And I know what you mean by special.
Hardest job I've ever had, Brad.
Oh my gosh. Monica and I were saying if our kids were that age, we would just be like, oh God. I mean, we were really good parents and we were hands on and did everything then, but just like, oh my gosh. Being now, I mean, it doesn't end. And it's not like they're just extending everything, you know, on a daily basis. So I feel your pain. You will look back and because it's kind of like being pregnant or having a child, you know, from what I understand, you won't remember that part about it. You know, have all the bad parts. You'll only mainly remember the good times you're having now.
It's like Survivor. You don't remember the bad parts of Survivor, right? It's all the fun you had.
You know, it is kind of like Survivor. Monica seems to only remember the bad parts, but I only remember, you know, the beautiful Fiji beaches you know, hanging out. She remembers all the downtime. She's busy. Like, you remember just sitting there doing nothing? I'm like, yeah, I guess. I don't really think about that though.
I know that fades away for me too. It was just, I very distinctly remember this one coconut that I would stare at in the tree, but all those hours are just condensed into that one image of a coconut. Right.
Yeah. I think when people ask about Survivor and they're like, you know, what are things you have to see? I think the main thing that people don't understand is how much downtime there is. You know, one episode is basically 3 days, and there's a lot of downtime in those 3 days.
So your tribe won a lot more than mine, so you had more downtime than I did.
Right.
We were scrambling for tribals.
Yeah, when you're going to tribal council every night, it definitely makes it for shorter downtime. There's no doubt about that.
But it's true. That got both of us prepared for a life without sports for the next little while. At least we're used to downtime and finding a way to fill the void. Some people are going to use esports. Brad, thanks so much for helping me look at the college and NFL season. It's been really interesting getting your input, both as a player and the dad of two players, three players if we get into honors college career coming at us.
Correct. I definitely have three, and she's a fantastic basketball player. Unfortunately, she's going into the epicenter of coronavirus with going to NYU, but hopefully by the time she goes, things will be settled down. But interesting tidbit, you're talking about Survivor and missing sports. So the spring, or I guess summer, I went to, we filmed a Game Changers 34. I was able to see the very first NBA finale when LeBron James lost the opening game. They ended up going down like when they
won. Was this when they came back to beat the Warriors?
We missed the entire thing. In fact, when we went on the island, I think he was down three games to whatever, and I couldn't. And of course, I was on the island for 40 days. Fortunately. So I couldn't believe when I got off that they had won, because they had to win every single game and they ended up doing it. So I missed that entire LeBron James championship by being on Survivor. So that was a big miss.
That I had a very similar experience where he was literally the night that I left for Fiji. He was in, it wasn't the finals. It was the semifinals against Boston. He was in Cleveland and they looked like they were going to lose. And when I got off, I found out that he ended up winning and then going on to lose to the Warriors. So right. LeBron James is how we keep track of our Survivor careers, Brad.
Or lack thereof.
There you go. Well, this is normally where I tell people where they can find you on social media, but you are smarter than the rest of us. I encourage you to continue to stay off social media if you can. I'm very jealous of you. But our next guest is on social media. I'm going to be talking to Loco Doco, one of Brad's favorite League of Legends former players, coaches. He's an analyst. He's going to really dig into the world of esports. Give us that analyst and coach perspective. It's going to be a lot of fun. Brad, I hope you enjoy the rest of your quarantine. Give Monica and the kids all my love.
You too, Rick. Thanks a lot. Great talking to you.
Absolutely. Pleasure. Big thanks to Brad Culpepper. Big thanks to Rob Sesternino. And big thanks to Scott St. Pierre. Tune in next time. I'll see you in the real world real soon.